In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus, Word of God, reveal more of yourself to us through your presence in the Bible. Led by the Holy Spirit, guide our time of reflection. May it increase our desire for you in the Scripture and in the sacrament. Amen. We're talking about rulers and governors in this weekend's readings at Mass, and I want to devote the most amount of time to our first reading. Once again, we're in the book of Isaiah. Yet now, unlike the last handful of weeks, we're in the second album of Isaiah the Rapper. Chapters 1 through 39 made up Isaiah's first book, or album, of sorts. The setting for the first album is prior to the exile of the Israelites. Yet this weekend, we moved on to Isaiah's second album, chapters 40 to 55. And in this second album, Isaiah's setting is during the exile. Remember that after the Israelites wandered in the desert from Egypt, then they entered the Promised Land. Following some blissful centuries there, the Babylonians showed up and marched them out of the land into captivity. This was more or less around 500 BC, and it's in this captivity, this exile, that Isaiah is writing his second album. And what's he talking about? That the Lord God has not abandoned Israel, even though it might appear so, because obviously they're no longer in the Promised Land. Enter our first reading. Isaiah has a message for a king named Cyrus. Cyrus is the founder of the Persian Empire, and this is the nation that will liberate the Israelites from their exile and allow them to travel back to the Promised Land. Cyrus becomes a messiah of sorts for the Israelites. And that's exactly what Isaiah says in the first line of the first reading. Thus says the Lord to his anointed, Cyrus. This is the Hebrew word for messiah, a word usually only reserved for Israel's high priest or king. Think King David or Solomon. Cyrus, with of course no relation to Billy Ray or Miley, is a character whom we will continue to meet as we progress through the scripture. Suffice it for now to say that he's an unexpected messiah that brings liberation to Israel. From there, we move on to our second reading. The last few weekends, we've been hearing from St. Paul's letter to the Philippians, but now we're on to a different letter, his first letter to the Thessalonians. St. Paul, of course, traveled throughout the world to spread the gospel message, and we call his travels his missionary journeys. Well, on his second journey, he traveled through the region of what we know today as Greece. Joined by Timothy and Silvanus, two of his companions, he goes first to Philippi, and then goes to a city called Thessalonica. There, a riot took place when his message about Jesus wasn't too well received, so he and his companions had to leave the city. They traveled to Athens, and then from there they split up as Paul went for Corinth and Timothy went back to Thessalonica. Then, when Timothy finishes revisiting Thessalonica, he meets back up with Paul, likely in Corinth, and tells him about this revisit. And then after hearing about this from Timothy, Paul then writes his first letter to the Thessalonians. Ooh. Listen, the TLDR version is this. Paul, Timothy, and Silvanus have been to Thessalonica before. It didn't go well. Timothy goes back to visit again, and when he tells Paul in a different city about this revisit, Paul then writes this letter. All of this is important because, as we see in our second reading, Paul uses language that specifically calls to mind his experience with the Thessalonians. He says, "We give thanks to God always for all of you, remembering you on our prayers and also unceasingly calling to mind your work of faith and labor of love." He's remembering specific memories here. And of course, our excerpt finishes with him talking about when the gospel came to the Thessalonians, not only in word alone, but also in power and the Holy Spirit. With just a brief moment, then, we'll take a look at the gospel. The most important context to the gospel passage this weekend is the question of taxes. The Roman Empire enforced a poll tax that required every man, woman, and slave from 12 to 65 years old to pay the government simply because they existed. The Pharisees want Jesus to make a public statement on this tax, knowing that they can trap him either way, because if Jesus opposes the tax, he'll be in trouble with the Romans. But if he supports the tax, he'll lose the support of many Jews who suffer under the burden of this tax and want a Messiah to speak out against it. Jesus deftly avoids the trap altogether, saying that the tax ought to be paid because it's using the emperor's coin to begin with. He takes the trap and teaches a lesson with it. Give to man what is man, and God what is God's. So that's it. That's your Sunday setup for this 29th Sunday in Ordinary Time of Year A. May this knowledge of the story behind the scripture allow you to encounter Jesus Christ in a new way this weekend. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.